equanimity is an embodied experience. Yeah, we've been exploring the Brahmaviharas over the last month or so, and last time, 2 weeks ago when we met, we started taking this deeper dive into equanimity. There was a couple of requests that it seems on the cusp of a new year that a deeper dive into equanimity would be welcome and supportive to all the complexity that continues to come towards us in life. So we'll continue on that theme today. Welcome, Ellen. Welcome, Claire. And Eileen, if I'm saying your name right, a new friend. So good to have all of you here. And we'll begin with practice, as we typically do. So I invite you to nest in to whatever posture allows for an expression of presence and dignity, and begins to balance alertness and ease. This is an opportunity for a deeper arrival into the body, into the moment. It can be supportive to soften the gaze or let the eyes close, gifting the eyes the opportunity to rest. And it can help to allow this arrival to be an unfolding, to not be in a rush, to arrive, to not be in a rush, to relax, to not be in a rush to hone in on the breath, like target practice. You know, there's a softness in the settling and in the arriving. Letting the body lead you into the moment. There might be a few slightly deeper breaths at the beginning, letting the inhalation enliven your presence, bringing some energy to your posture. And then letting each exhalation be the beginning of a letting go process. Letting go of the tasks that might have preceded this moment. Letting go of commitments that might come later in your day. Releasing pockets of tension in the body. Letting there be a slow arrival. And bringing another layer of intentionality to experiencing the breath. So letting the breath just naturally arise and pass. So that it's not about trying to control the breath or make it be a particular way, but beginning to meet the breath or receive the breath with your full awareness. Feeling the breath where it enters the nostrils or the mouth. And how the inhalation begins to fill the lungs. Feeling the expansion in the front of the rib cage, maybe the slight lifting of the clavicles, and the settling that happens with the exhalation. And with each breath cycle, perhaps allowing your attention to track the breath through the full arc of movement through the body, layer by layer. The feeling how the breath expands the diaphragm, that place in the body at the base of the lungs that opens to receive the inhalation, which might be felt in the movement of the abdomen. Gentle rising and falling of the belly. And you might allow your awareness to wrap itself around to the back body, beginning to feel the three-dimensionality of the breath. So at the fullness of an inhalation, in addition to an expansion through the front body, you may feel a more subtle expansion through the low back, through the back of the rib cage. A slight spread between the shoulder blades. And then with the exhalation, the shoulder blades coming back to rest closer to the midline of the body. Letting yourself get up close to the experience of the breath, to become curious about the breath and its detailed expression in subtle movements throughout the body. A subtle, perhaps lifting and falling of the shoulders with each wave of the breath. Let it be a dance of discovery to see what your warm-hearted, curious awareness uncovers about the lived experience of the breath in this moment, right here. And you might maintain a wide lens of focus, feeling the breath body as a whole, the fullness of the torso, and maybe even beyond the torso. Or you might have a more focused awareness that comes to rest in a particular location in the body where the breath is most alive for you or most interesting. what's most important is to stay close to the felt sense experience of the breath, rather than the idea of the breath or an analysis of the breath. Sensing the breath washing through the body. And as you settle in with the breath, you might find that the body naturally begins to settle. That some of the knotted places, the pockets of tension, begin to soften on their own. And rather than trying to relax the body, your awareness can receive a felt sense of releasing, much in the same way that it receives the felt experience of the breath. And as you settle with the breath, and as your awareness continues to be curious about the breath, you might at moments become aware of subtle changes in the breathing. There might be a moment where you notice you've been holding the breath. There might be a sort of a sense of tension in the chest or the belly, and the breath becomes a little more shallow. Or there might be a sense of almost trying to grab hold of the breath or to control it. There might be moments when you completely lose sight of the breath, and the mind feels sort of dull and unfocused. So just letting yourself have these moments of discovery, of shifts and changes in the breath. And you might just notice what's happening in the mind in these moments. Maybe you were lost in a particular story, a moment of worry or planning. And then you can simply come home to just the next breath, beginning again. Letting awareness settle on the wider breath body or a particular location. And once again, receiving the waves of the breath, moment by moment. as we come to the final minutes of our practice today, letting yourself notice body and breath, noticing this capacity to direct your attention and to receive experience as it's unfolding. And you might pause to reflect, how might this capacity to direct attention, to bring a kind curiosity to the moment, to bring a quality of welcome and receptivity, how might this be of benefit in the wider world, in the world you walk through with eyes open? How might you be able to channel this capacity to help create opportunities, to create a world where people feel seen, heard, welcomed, received? And as you consider the possibility of being part of a world like this, perhaps opening the heart to offer a wish that all beings may somehow know the gift of kindness, of warmth, of welcome, a world in which all beings experience a sense of safety, ease, happiness, and health. May all beings know ease of well-being and freedom from suffering. May it be so. Welcome, friends, and so lovely to practice with you. And as I typically do, I'll just share some brief reflections on our theme for today, and then there'll be an optional opportunity for interaction with each other and shared wisdom to emerge. So this theme of embodied equanimity, how we experience equanimity in a lived day-to-day way, not this idea of equanimity, but how can we touch it? What does it feel like in our practice? and how might this translate into the world? You know, equanimity, as we've been talking about it, can be described in many ways. One of those ways is the capacity to sit in the midst of all that is happening with a quality of balance and calm and clarity, to sit with the external weather systems of life, and to sit with the internal storms of the mind. And so today I want to take a deeper dive into how might we sit with the and work with the storms of the mind. And I don't know about you, my mind is often a very busy place. There's all kinds of weather systems moving through. And often we get entangled in this fighting with our minds, which is as fruitless as fighting with the weather. You know, I can't go outside and say, I want it to be rainy today, or I don't want it to be snowing. You know, my wanting it to be different is not going to make it so. And it's very similar with our mind. My wanting the mind to be quieter or clearer or, you know, have more pure, peaceful, kind thoughts does not make it so. So there's this practice of bringing a kind curiosity to what's happening in the mind that has this flavor of equanimity. And last time and this time in the guided practice, we were working with the breath. There was this invitation to bring curiosity to the breath, to really know the breath with some intimacy. And the breath is a rich practice terrain for a number of reasons. One, it offers us a simpler, stiller place to bring our focus. And simultaneously, the breath is not still. So there's more stillness in the breath than the movements that we may have in daily life. But there's still movement, and it's simpler movement, and it's movement we can start to know in more detail, to be able to discern subtle changes or differences that are occurring moment by moment. And the breath and these subtle changes can actually reveal quite a bit about our quality of mind. So when there's tension in the mind, it is often reflected in tension in the body, or tension or subtle changes in the breath. So our first inkling that something is going on in the mind actually can arise in awareness that something's going on in the body. It's like the body is a mirror, and we're looking at the body, we're looking at the breath as the place we're choosing to focus in the body to see what's being reflected. And there are many models or frameworks we can use for looking at habits of the mind that might be reflected in the breath. And I thought that in the coming weeks we could look at a few of those frameworks or models, bringing in this quality of equanimity and this quality of curiosity. And one of these models is something that's known as the five hindrances. Some of you may have heard of this, some of you may have never heard of this, but there's these five habits of mind that quite frequently show up for us in our practice. And this is just one way of slicing and dicing this, so I'll offer it. So you have a few flavors of what might happen in the mind. So the first one is known as desire. It's this quality or energy of wanting. You know, it could be something as ordinary and everyday as, oh, it's kind of lunchtime and there's this wanting. Like, I sense there's some hunger and there's this, like, starting to kind of, oh, grab onto, like, what's next? What's next in my day? Oh, lunch is next in my day. And there can be a wandering into the territory. And as that wanting arises, there's often some sort of tension or a leaning forward in the body. It's often subtle, but it's like we can go from receiving the breath and being at ease to all of a sudden just a little stickiness in the energy of the body or the breath. A second flavor or hindrance, and they're often known as hindrances because they're places we get caught. They're places we get tangled up in the habits of the mind, and they get in the way of us being at ease, relaxed, receptive, open. So that's sort of where the energy or the name hindrance can come from. So the second flavor is aversion. It's the energy of not wanting. It has that energy of sort of pushing away. So maybe there's something happening in the body, like, oh, my foot's falling asleep and I don't really like that. And there's actually the sensations of what's happening in the foot falling asleep. And then there's kind of a tension. There's tension here with aversion too, a different kind of tension. And there's the tension of like, oh, I don't like this. I wish this was different. And that can happen mentally too, you know, in response to a story, a thought, a worry. It's like, oh, not that. A third energy or hindrance is what's classically known as sloth and torpor, which I just love that phrase. And it's the dulling of the mind and body. It's kind of when you're no longer really paying attention. It can be sleepiness, you know, that sense of, I have just spaced out, I've kind of nodded off, so literally going to sleep, or sort of mentally going to sleep. It's like you lose the breath because the mind sort of fades out. You know, the breath takes some energy to pay attention to. It's not the most exciting object that we could choose to pay attention to, you know, that daydream, that juicy daydream of, oh, my vacation someday when the world opens up from COVID and I can go somewhere again. The opposite of sloth and torpor is restlessness. There's an agitation. So that can feel like the fidgety sense that happens in the body or the breath. There can be sometimes a more shallow or rapid quality to the breath. And often when we check in with restlessness, it's a little bit like that popcorn maker of the mind, where there's just a lot going on. There's a lot of mental activity. There's a lot of agitation. It might be planning mind. It might be worrying. It might be the to-do list. And then a fifth flavor of mind or habit of mind or hindrance is known as doubt. And that often comes in the form of thoughts like, this isn't going so well today. My practice isn't working. Meditation doesn't work. I'm not very good at this. I can't make my mind pay attention. Sometimes it's a really concrete thought like that. Sometimes it's more a felt sense, an energy of discouragement or disappointment in practice or in how things are, in our capacity. And so these five flavors can be sometimes helpful to keep in mind if you recognize one of them, you don't want to get really caught up in thinking, a lot of tension or energy of thinking about these. But sometimes it's a roadmap that's really helpful to have at hand so that if the mind is wanting, not wanting, sleepy or dull, restless or doubting, and that's obvious, sometimes just one word to name that. Oh, this is wanting. This is doubting. This is restlessness. It's a way of not getting caught up in the details of what we're restless about, but it's acknowledging the energy or the habit of the mind that might be there. And these habits of the mind often get in the way of equanimity, of that capacity to be relaxed and sort of floating with the waves of life internally and externally. And then sometimes it's helpful to have an even wider view and not even to try to name the hindrance, but just to notice, like, oh, distraction, like one word, thinking or distraction. Or sometimes people like that word, hindrance, just acknowledging something's gotten in the way here of being fully at ease in the moment. So the invitation here is to be curious about the connection between breath and body and mind, and that changes in the mind or in the breath or body can reflect changes or tensions in the mind. And this roadmap of the five hindrances might offer a way of getting to know what's happening in the mind. And we'll build on this again in the coming weeks. But this is the piece for today. And what I'll offer is the opportunity for a few minutes together, about 7 minutes in breakout rooms, if you wish. Those who are new, this is always optional, but it's a sweet way to share